Labor Day comes to Halifax.
Now, if you want higher wages, let me tell you what to do. You got to talk to the workers in the shop with you. You got to build you a union, got to make it strong. But if you all stick together, boys, it won't be long. You get shorter hours.
Hundreds of Haligonians took to the streets and marched around the commons, some wearing matching t-shirts, others in rain ponchos, and others waving flags of solidarity. September 1st was Labor Day, and it was celebrated by the Canadian Labor Congress, the Nova Scotia Federation of Labor, the Nova Scotia Union of Pipefitters, Canadian Auto Workers, and others. In attendance were workers, family and friends, and politicians hoping for support in upcoming municipal and provincial elections. The theme of the rally was equality, once and for all. Speakers focused on the inequality in pay between men and women and between Aboriginal peoples and whites. Rick Clark, president of the Nova Scotia Federation of Labor, had this to say about the Labor Day campaign.
I think some of the challenges that we have are probably the same as they're universally across the country, I guess. When you look at the manufacturing sector, like Ontario is really hemorrhaging, and to the point now they may be a have-not province. But we're equally hurting as bad. I mean, we're losing manufacturing jobs left, right, and center, and all we have elected officials saying is, well, we can't do anything about it. Well, you know, there are things we can do about it. There's things that we can do to stem that hemorrhage, and there's things that we can do to try to, to get good jobs being created again. And this municipal election coming up, we plan to make that an issue in the municipal election because the city's talking about building ferries and they're going for tenders internationally. Well, you know, they should be sole sourcing that in HRM or at least in Nova Scotia because we're taxpayers. Somebody wins that contract outside this country, they're not paying taxes in this municipality or in this province. So those are the big issues, and healthcare is always a big issue. I mean, we're still fighting for recruitment retention to try to take up some of the problems that we're having with staffing in the healthcare sector, some of the problems we're having with long wait lines, and the Capital District Health Authority are going out to put $30 million into a for-profit staffing organization and endorsed and supported by the Premier. Now, you know, that reeks to me of a government that recognizes there's a problem and has no idea how to deal with it. So that's a serious problem when you have a province that doesn't know how to deal with its own problems.
There are municipal, provincial, and possibly federal elections coming up. Is there a specific stance or a specific party that Labor has been working with or feeling strong about?
Well, yes. We debate at a convention, and it started out years ago. I was a delegate on the floor at our convention when a resolution would be on the floor that Labor would support the party that supports workers. And I've talked to both of the Liberals and Conservatives face-to-face on this because they don't like our stance that we support the New Democratic Party. And they don't like our stance on that, and I explained the history of it, and I said, you know, they have been the ones that historically have been on the issues that are important to workers and their families. I said, you support us when you're in opposition, and you shaft us when you're in government. So, you know, all we want is consultation rather than confrontation, but they seem to think that when you're in government, we don't have to talk to you. And so until they learn the lesson that workers are voters, then I guess we're always going to be supporters of New Democrats.
And here in Halifax, there's a few different candidates running for the NDP riding. Is there one that you've already got your hopes on or that you're backing at this point?
No, I don't think yet, as an organization, because the field's still open yet. The nominations haven't ended, and the only one that I'm certain I'm not supporting is the one they've been trying to get was me. I'm not running. But I think there's some good, credible candidates out there already. And this is a good seat, and it's a good solid riding. And we do need a good, solid candidate, and we've got some good ones that are vying for that position. So fairly comfortable that when you have a hard choice to make, that's not a bad choice.
From all of you good workers, good news to you I'll tell of how the good old union has come in here to dwell.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
That was Rick Clark, president of the Nova Scotia Federation of Labor. Marie Clark Walker was in town from Ottawa for Labor Day. Executive Vice President of the Canadian Labor Congress, Clark Walker was adamant in the CLC's position on gendered and racial inequality in pay. Like Clark, she highlighted the importance of upcoming elections as a way to achieve the demands of the labor movement.
Yeah, we've adopted the theme Equality Once and For All because it's part of a campaign that we started in March on IWD, International Women's Day, to bring the plight of women to the attention of all workers. And that plight is a significant negative plight in that women still, for the most part, make much less than men do. So those who have to support their families find it very, very difficult. We were all told when I was in school anyway, if you got a university education, that you'd do a lot better off in terms of work. What we're finding is that that's not the case right now. University educated women make 69 cents on the dollar that that men make. On average, it's 71 cents, 70 and a half, 71 cents for most women. So it's a concern. The whole concern about if you make lower wages, it also affects your pensions. So we have a lot more women who are living in poverty after they've retired from work or finished working. After their working lives have ended, they're still living in poverty, and it's disgusting. Particularly when you think about those are our mothers, you know, our aunts, our grandmothers, etc. I think that those are things that need to change. So we want to bring that to the attention of people right across the country. The other part of the Equality Once and For All campaign is centered around the election. We keep hearing rumors that there will be an election called, and our radar says probably on Thursday they will call it for a vote on October 14th. Well, you know, there are things that we need to be talking about. We have a Conservative government that keeps saying that they're supportive. I don't know who they're supportive of. They're definitely not supportive of workers. They haven't done anything that's been positive for workers. They will take credit for the wage earner protection, but that didn't come about because of them. It's a process that started way back, and I think it was the persistence of workers that made that happen. So we want to make sure that people know what are some of the things that they need to be looking for, and you need to be looking for politicians that are on your side. So politicians, when we had the anti-scab vote, politicians who showed up and voted with workers, you know, and look at all the other votes that have happened in the last 2 years and see whether or not the person who's running in your riding has been supportive. Have they shown up to vote? Because not showing up is not an answer either. And start asking the very difficult questions, you know, are you supportive of workers? Are you supportive of affordable, accessible childcare? Are you supportive of affordable housing? Are you supportive of proper pensions for all workers? Are you supportive of a living wage? I mean, and we could go on. Are you supportive of health and safety issues? The main thing, the cornerstone of what the labor movement was founded on, which we are seeing get, you know, screwed all over the place. But those are the questions that we need to be asking the people that are running. So Labor Day is a chance for us to celebrate what we as workers have accomplished over the last year, but it's also a time to educate. It's also a time to look forward and put forward an action plan for the years ahead or the year ahead. And that's what we're hoping is happening right across this country. Some cities just have barbecues. Some cities just have parades. More and more we're seeing cities have, you know, teach-ins and talks like we had here today, getting the word out. So I'm hoping that that's happening more and more across the country in the coming years.
The labor movement has a long history, and a long history of successes as well. And tell me how the history of the labor movement has affected the current struggles today. What struggles have passed on and still have yet to be won? And what has changed over the decades?
Okay, I think let me start with some of the things that we have won and some of the successes, because what I find is that people don't realize that those are the things that the labor movement have brought. So the weekend, vacation time, sick benefits and sick days, holiday pay, employment insurance, maternity leave, parental leave, health and safety laws. So those are just some of the things that the labor movement have brought. And yes, you know, that's the starting point. We have made a lot of gains, but we've also lost a lot, particularly with conservative governments, by giving employers and corporations more power than the workers who are doing the work on a daily basis. So that we've lost some ground there. Where we haven't seen, I put this, where we haven't seen as much progress as we'd like, again, is on the equity stuff, right? So you would think that after 50 years of being a labor movement in this country and with so many progressive people within the labor movement that we would have been able to get a little bit further on things like pay equity, on things like affordable childcare, on things like pensions and women's issues. And there have been times that we've been just that close. Again, it's been the pushback by the corporations, the conservatives, that, you know, I think that their reality is much different from workers' reality. They look at their own reality, so they're able to stay home and, you know, not worry about how this bill is going to get paid. But for most workers, it's that's not their reality. They're struggling to make ends meet. The biggest progress, I think, of the labor movement is the fact that if you belong to a union, and it's well documented, it's there in statistics, if you belong to a union, you make that much more. So on average, it's about $5 an hour more. And that $5 an hour more is very significant when you look at, you know, the end of your year and what you've been able to accomplish and what you wouldn't be able to accomplish had you not had that extra $5. So I guess I contradicted myself. We've made some significant gains, and I think that by far that's the biggest one. And so that's the message that we need to get out to people belonging to a union. It's not just about walking a picket line. It's about the collectivity of bargaining collectively, which gets you more in the long run. It's also what has helped those who are not unionized, because when you bargain a good collective agreement with good benefits, with good wages, with good health and safety language, with good harassment language, guess what? Those who aren't unionized get the benefit of that, because there are corporations and employers out there that don't want unions in there, so they figure if they just give them those things, that they'll be better off. The fact of the matter is, you still need a union at the end of the day, because those who don't have them can get fired, and, you know, the drop of a hat. And so you want to be able to get the protections that a union offers.
And that was Mary Clark Walker, Executive Vice President of the Canadian Labour Congress, speaking about gender and racial pay equality in Halifax on Labour Day. For Operation Wake Up and the CKDU News Collective, this is David Parker.
Scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union.